to be Locked On Leafs podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Leafs. I'm your host, Mike DiStefano from TSN 1050 Toronto Radio, also known as Al's brother from TSN's Overdrive. You can hit me up on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. Follow the show as well at Locked On Leafs. And if you like what you hear today, please consider subscribing to the podcast. Leave a rating and a review as well. That would be much, much appreciated. Just some quick news today. Not much Leafs-related news going on in the NHL, really. Just two big things that we'll be talking about. One of the RFAs have been locked up, and it's really been a quiet few weeks, months, I guess, in the RFA market. Haven't heard anything about any of these guys signing. Haven't heard anything about any potential offer sheet, which is kind of bizarre to me when you think about the situation that some of these teams are in. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I've got my top five RFAs that are still unsigned, and you know, we're getting down to it. We're probably about a month away from getting ready to go back to our city so that they can isolate, so that they can get ready for training camp, which is supposed to start sometime after the new year, or at least shortly thereafter. So it's interesting, some of these guys who are still left unsigned. So we'll go after them. And also, the UFA market is still pretty heavy with talent. So I also got a top five list of UFAs as well. So we'll get to all of that. But let's start with today's biggest news. And really, there's two things. One, we'll quickly touch on it. Johnny Boychuk retiring from the NHL, had an eye injury, and he's unable to keep playing, and he's ready to hang him up. Had himself a heck of a career, played exceptional in Boston, exceptional in New York. This guy was a warrior, so hats off to an amazing career out of Johnny Boychuk. Hope you find some success after hockey and enjoy retirement. But the bigger news on the day that is more hockey related, I guess you would say, is Mikhail Sergachev re-upping with the Tampa Bay Lightning, 3-year deal at $4.8 million. How do the rich keep getting richer? This is how. You got a team like Tampa Bay where players just take anything because they want to play for this team. A guy like Sergachev, who during the Stanley Cup run was an instrumental part of that blue line. He is 100% a top four guy who deserves $5-6 million easy $6 million. I thought that Sergachev was going to get $5.5 or $6 million on a 5-6 year deal. Instead, he signs 3x$4.8 million. I'm surprised. Really, that nobody thought to offer sheet him. And that is something that is something that hasn't been spoken about a lot. I know offer sheets don't really happen anyways in the NHL, but I thought this year specifically we could see some teams, because some guys are just so squeezed, A, financially, B, with the flat cap. You got a team like Tampa, if you were to offer Sergachev like $5.5 million over, you know, 5.5 times 3 or 5.5 times 2, well, now you're really pushing the pace here, and it would cost you only a first and a third round pick. I'd give that up if I'm a contending team for a guy like Mikhail Sergachev. You know, the Maple Leafs, shoot, I would gladly bring in Sergachev onto this hockey team. So why a team didn't offer sheet him, or at the very least, even if they expected Tampa to re-sign him, if you offer sheet at 5.5, you at least squeeze an extra $700,000 out of Tampa's cap. And this is a team that for years has been getting away with all these unreal contracts. Like, you got Steven Stamkos, who re-signed for what, like $8 million. I think they've got Nikita Kucherov at 9.5, Braden Point at 6.7. Defensively, Victor Hedman, the best defenseman in the league, at $7.8 million. It's incredible what they're able to lock these players up for. They still do have a couple of solid RFAs that we'll get to later on, obviously. And they don't got that much cap space. I don't believe they have any cap space, actually. They are over the cap as we sit, over the cap by about $3 million. So, you know, their team, or $2 million, they're a team that I think teams should be squeezing. Like, they got to squeeze these guys for every nickel that they can. because you can't let them get away with it. I mean, obviously, I don't expect Toronto to be a team to go out and get a guy like Sergachev or Cirelli. They just can't afford it. Unless somehow Cirelli takes a deal for like $3.5-4 million, which I would gladly make Cirelli my third line center over a guy like Kerfoot. So you know, if you can flip out those contracts and move Kerfoot and bring in a guy like Cirelli, I could see that. You know, I could be a fan of that happening. I don't expect that to happen though, but it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Sorry about that. As a Leafs fan, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth after seeing, you know, Toronto RFAs just bend the Leafs over year after year after year in every single negotiation. You know, Nylander took him all the way down to the last hour, last 5 minutes before he would have sat out for the entire year, and eventually he got his money, the $7 million that he was looking for, just a shade under, I suppose. But he got his money. Matthews, straight up, I think Matthews just said, here's what I want. And they said, yep, okay, here you go. Here it is. We're signing. You sign. Done. Because there wasn't much talk. It was just like, oh, the Leafs have signed Austin Matthews to a 5-year extension. It was like, oh, cool. That's all right. Interesting. And then Mitch Marner. Well, we all know how the Marner negotiations went. And, you know, Marner is taking a beating here in the market now because of it. And then you got guys on other teams who are signing these cupcake deals, like so team-friendly. Sergachev at $4.8 million is insane. Like Braden Point, the exact same year that Mitch Marner signed his contract for nearly $11 million, you got Braden Point signed for $6.75 million. This is a guy who legitimately was a candidate for playoff MVP. Like, he almost won the Conn Smythe, and he's making a hair under $7 million, and we've got Mitch Marner making $4 million more than Braden Point. Like, it's insane what they've been able to do. Not even just them. Like, I know Buffalo or Boston just signed Jake DeBrusk to 2 years at 3.6 annually. Jake DeBrusk, if he was in Toronto market, like, this is a guy who scored 25 to 30 goals, you know, on any given year. Well, he had 27 goals a couple of years ago. It took a little bit of a dip last year. But I guarantee you, if this was Toronto, he probably would be asking for $4.5-5 million, and that's what Toronto would give him. But any other market, they're somehow able to negotiate pretty sound and solid deals. It is annoying as a Leafs fan to see all these great players, these teams consistently get their players to take discounts, and Toronto's sitting there and paying everybody way overpriced when you consider what everyone else is making. Like Patrick Laine, a guy who, you know, could put up 50 goals at any moment, making 6.75. Like, it's just it's incredible, absolutely incredible. How the Leafs have been negotiating their contracts with these RFAs, and then seeing what's gone on in the around the league with everybody else. It's hopefully when, you know, Sandin comes up for renewal, or who else do we have coming up for renewal? I mean, technically they were able to get a pretty decent deal out of Ilya Mikheyev, so you got to be happy about that. But there's just so much to be frustrated about when you see all of these players taking nice team-friendly discounts, and then you got the Toronto Maple Leafs handing out as much money as they possibly can to these guys. Doesn't even seem like they're negotiating. They're just keep coming up in their offer, and they don't allow the players to meet them in the middle. It's insane what's been going on in Toronto. But good for Sergachev, able to get himself a nice little nifty deal, and he'll be back probably looking to win another cup. And the thing is, though, when it comes to Tampa Bay, they do still have a couple of guys who they got to get signed, and they're already a couple million over the cap. They do have Tyler Johnson that they got to get rid of. He's making $5 million, and probably there's got to be a team out there that's look. I mean, he's a great middle six player. He's not a fourth line scrub. Like, he can play top 6 minutes. He could be a number two center, or at least a pretty good third line center, or third line, you know, you want to toss him on the wing, he could do that too. He's a versatile player. that's somebody that, you know, there's a team out there that could take that on and get some assets. Maybe one of these RFAs could be the asset that they get in return. So we'll take a quick break, and when we return, we'll discuss the top five RFAs that have yet to sign, and we've got a Tampa Bay Lightning player on that list. I also have one as one of my honorable mentions. But before we get into all that, let me tell you all about Built Go. It's the Built Bar's newest product. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through a wall, whether it's mental or a physical wall, break through with Go every day. It's easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power you through the back nine, or put it in your pocket to get you through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It's got three delicious flavors. You can get either peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, or chocolate mint. How's the Built Go work so well? Well, let me tell you, the Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, and the collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, and you can get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Welcome back to the Locked On Leafs podcast. I am Mike DiStefano. So tailing off of the conversation of RFA defenseman Mikhail Sergachev signing a 3-year, $4.8 million contract in Tampa Bay, it prompted me to just go and take a look and see, well, who else is out there as an RFA? It's been a pretty quiet market so far, and I'm pretty sure there's a couple of biggies that are still unsigned. And yeah, I was right. There are some biggies that still need to be signed here, one of them also being another Tampa Bay Lightning. So we'll see how they can, you know, get around the cap to make sure that they can get him under contract, because he's a big boy on this list. But we'll start with some honorable mentions of some guys, and just basically to let you know, some people who still aren't signed, surprisingly, and we're, you know, still about a month away from getting ready to go here in the NHL and for training camps. But Jesper Bratt, a 21-year-old out of New Jersey, had 32 points in 60 games last year, played in the league as an 18-year-old. You know, this kid's still not signed, and New Jersey is definitely going to want to get him signed. He's a big part of their future going forward, I believe. Luke Kunin, or Kunin, however it's pronounced, he was traded to Nashville over the offseason. I believe it was at the draft, actually. 22 years old, can play the wing or center position. 31 points last year in Minnesota. He is also still an RFA that they got to get signed. Jack Roslovic in Winnipeg, he's got to get signed. Philip Myers, big defenseman out of Philly. Ethan Bear, you know, like, there's a lot of players out here. And another one that Tampa's got to get under contract here is Eric Chernak, a right shot defenseman, just 23 years old, played a big part of that Stanley Cup run. You know, somehow they got to get him under contract. And there's one more, and he'll come up later in that list. We will start at my fifth best RFA still remaining, and that's Vince Dunn of the St. Louis Blues. I don't really understand why they haven't signed him yet. He had 23 points in 71 games. You know, he's a guy who's learned under both Parayko and Pietrangelo, and he's somebody who I think that the Blues really want to get locked up long-term. I mean, they moved on from Jay Bomeister. They moved on from Alex Pietrangelo. Yes, they brought in Torey Krug, but I still believe that they want this kid, Vince Dunn, to be a long-term piece of this team. And St. Louis right now, much like Tampa, already over the cap. So if you're another team, then this is a player, because he's someone who I believe could be a top-four defenseman. This is a player that I would be, if I were a team like, I don't know, let's say Nashville, potentially you look at the Red Wings, Columbus, Florida perhaps, you know, the Islanders, maybe, well, not the Islanders, they're up against it, Buffalo, like one of these teams who still have a decent amount of cap space, offer sheet these players. Go and get yourself a top four defenseman. It just makes sense to me. So he's coming in at number five. At number four, we have, let me pull up the list here. Yeah, we got Dylan Strome. So Dylan Strome coming in at number four on my list. 23 years old, former third overall pick. Went one pick before Mitch Marner. Picked by the Arizona Coyotes. That was a terrible option because obviously Mitch Marner has turned out to be the better player. Now, Dylan Strome is interesting because he had a really first go around with Chicago after the trade from Arizona. He was really, really solid, played on a line with DeBrincat and Patrick Kane, and those three had some good chemistry his first season in Chicago once he got traded there. Last year, didn't find as much consistency, not as much chemistry. He was up and down the lineup a little bit. They didn't really find a spot for him, and his offense suffered a little bit. 38 points through 58 games. Still not bad out of a 22-year-old, but not quite what you would expect when you look at that draft class and you see guys like Mitch Marner, Brock Besser, I believe, was in that draft class too. You know, so many other players turn into superstars in this league. I think Braden Point was also in that draft class. So he comes in at number three, and it's going to be interesting to see what they give him because Dylan Strome, like I said, a little bit up and down. I would imagine he's the type of guy that you would be wanting to get for both him and the team, probably a bridge deal, like 2 years at maybe $3 million a season over the next 2 years. So two times three, $6 million contract, and kind of see what you can get out of Dylan Strome as he progresses further into his career. Number three, Anthony Cirelli. Anthony Cirelli coming in at number three, 22-year-old centerman for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Instrumental part of this hockey team. They need to get him under contract. They have to. I spoke about it a moment ago, and I still obviously believe this to be the case. 44 points in 68 games, but it's what he does on the defensive side of his game which makes him so valuable to this team, and that is why Tampa Bay are one of the best teams in the league because they got guys who can compete on both ends of the ice, and Cirelli is somebody who I believe can work his way into becoming a solid number two center in the NHL. I don't think he'd become a number one, but he could be a really, really good number two, and he's someone that that Tampa certainly, especially if they're moving off from Tyler Johnson, are going to need to get locked up. But man, what's it going to cost to get Cirelli locked up here? Like, is he also going to take a discount just to kind of keep the band together? I don't know, maybe. And if, you know, you're looking like the Maple Leafs, let's say, you're looking at this team, or even if you're a team like Ottawa, you desperately need yourself like a guy who you can hang your hat on to be a future top six center. Go and offer Cirelli like 2 years, $10 million. Give up a first round pick for this kid. I think they could do it. They have tons and tons of prospect capital. It's not like they need picks. The only thing is, like, I suppose if you're Ottawa, you can't protect these picks, so you're giving away most likely a high draft pick. So maybe not Ottawa. But if there's a team out there that has the cap space, go out and get yourself a Cirelli, or at the very least, force Tampa to have to sign him for more than they're comfortable with. Right? This is a game. This is strategy. And NHL GMs don't use this strategy enough to screw over teams. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen nearly as much as it should. But a guy like Anthony Cirelli, he's going to get locked up. I don't see him missing the year. He's certainly an important piece for this team. So it's only going to be a matter of time before he's locked up. Number two, Pierre-Luc Dubois of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Still unsigned. And you talk about a guy who's instrumental to a team's success. That's Pierre-Luc Dubois. He is their number one center, just 22 years of age. He gave us such a hard time in the playoffs. He's quickly becoming like an enemy of the Maple Leafs because of how well he played and how much of a pest he was and how hard he plays. 49 points through 70 games in the regular season, was a beast in the playoffs for Columbus, a beast against the Maple Leafs at that. So Pierre-Luc Dubois definitely in for a nice little payday here. Columbus, not really a team that likes to hand out big money deals. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and take a look right now. They've only got $72 million given to players, and their biggest contract sitting here right now, $5.875 million, and that's to Cam Atkinson. Then after that, it's Dubinsky, who signed that years ago, and that contract is going to be up for up at the end of the year. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they give him. I would probably go in the, you know, $6 million range on like a four-year deal if I'm Pierre-Luc Dubois, and then cash out again once you're 26, 27 years old, right in the middle of your prime. And then we got number one, and I can't believe that this guy is still out there, and the fact that he's still out there and a team has an offer sheeted him just blows my mind. And that's Matt Barzal. Matt Barzal is a legit, true number one center in this league. He is elite, just 23 years old, averaging nearly a point per game, and he has been over the course of his career. The fact that nobody is coming to the Islanders, who currently, I might add, are what? Well, they were over the cap. What happened to the Islanders? Why can't I find them here on Cap Friendly? They don't exist. They just don't exist. Ah, okay. So they only have $3.9 million in cap. Now, does that include Boychuk? No. So Boychuk is on LTIR and he has retired. So that doesn't include Boychuk's cap. Yeah, so that doesn't include Boychuk, I don't believe, unless that right now is counting towards it. Doesn't look like it. So either way, I mean, Barzal's going to cost you more than $4 million, so they're going to have to get rid of somebody in order to bring him in, because that's somebody who you're paying, you know, $8 million a year for on a 6-7-8-year deal. Like, that's maybe even more. I doubt it just because, you know, it's Lou Lamoriello. He doesn't deal with things that way, but he's somebody who certainly, if I'm another team, again, this is a number one pick. This is somebody who Ottawa should be going after. If Ottawa wants to give up some picks and go and get themselves a true, legit number one, I could see that happening. Or Montreal. Even Montreal would be a really good option. You saw them last year. He did it with... who did Bergevin sign in? Sebastian Aho in Carolina. It got matched, but he was willing to give it up. I think you could do the exact same thing here with Barzal. And if you sign Barzal to, let's say, you know, $8.5 million deal, it's a first, second, and third round pick, I'm giving that up for a surefire top line centerman who's only 23 years of age every day of the week. Every day of the week, especially a team like Montreal, who has playoff aspirations, and it probably won't be a top five pick. It sure could end up being that way, but most likely it won't. So I think I at the end of the day, I really want to see some sort of disruption within the NHL in this offseason. I see all this stuff going down in the NBA, and then the NHL is just so stagnant. It's incredible. It's so upsetting to be a hockey fan. And after the first few days of free agency, an NHL offseason is just so boring. And something like an offer sheet to spice things up is exactly what we need. And I think it's exactly the type of year where teams could take advantage and try and offer sheet teams for, especially the cash-strapped teams. You know, they're not going to want to pay these large numbers, or teams who are cap-strapped at that with the flat cap. No one's taking advantage. That's annoying. It's really, really annoying. I will tell you that. So those are my top five RFAs that are still available or that still have yet to sign their contract extensions. I do anticipate each and every one of them to sign before the season starts. But coming up next, let's chat quickly about the UFA market because there's still some big-time UFAs still out on the market as well. Welcome back to the Locked On Leafs podcast. So we talked about the RFAs. Now it's time to talk about the unrestricted free agents still out there on the open market. First, let's hit up some honorable mentions that didn't make my top five list that are still out there. Carl Soderberg, veteran centerman, could be a solid third or fourth line center for a team looking to make a push in the playoffs. Anthony Duclair, coming off a pretty good season in Ottawa, didn't finish the way that he wanted to, and I think that's a big reason why his market isn't really there right now. Athanas Siou, another guy who was traded from Detroit to Edmonton, didn't really find his wheels there. He's out on the open market. And then a couple of oldies that I assume will find their way onto some teams. Zdeno Chara probably going to end up re-upping with Boston at some point, but he's there for now. And Corey Perry, my man's Scorey Perry. I could see the Leafs being interested in a Corey Perry. I don't know. Could you imagine a vet line of Corey Perry, Jason Spezza, and Wayne Simmonds as your fourth line? Not bad. That doesn't sound too shabby, if I do say so myself. But yeah, so those are some honorable mentions. We'll kind of get through these ones a little bit quicker Then we did the RFAs, running out of time here, approaching 25 minutes or approaching a half hour here probably once we add in the commercials. So, a couple of teams or a couple of players. We'll start at number five, and that is Mikael Granlund. So Mikael Granlund is still out there. He didn't have the best season. He hasn't been the same since he ended up going over to Nashville. As I remember at the time, I thought that was an unbelievable win for Nashville. And now I look at it, and it may be possibly just as bad as the Martin Irat trade, to be honest with you. It went the opposite way, I suppose, where Nashville got the butt end of the stick as opposed to winning it with Philip Forsberg. But, man, a guy who last year at the deadline within 16 games, just 5 points. And then this year, first full season in Nashville, just 30 points in 63 games. So not too great out of Mikael Granlund. And I would assume that's kind of what's hurting his value. I mean, last year he was coming off a season where he made 5.75. He's not going to make that anymore. I would be surprised if he made over $4 million, especially in this market. I mean, there's not even many teams who can offer him anything near that. And I think that's one of the biggest issues, too, when it comes to these free agents. Like, there's not a lot of teams that can even afford to pay anywhere close to what these guys probably are worth. I mean, just taking a peek, there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's only 8 teams in the NHL who actually have more than $5 million in cap space. Only 8. So if any of these players are expecting to get $5 million, it ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. I think that's why a lot of them are kind of just waiting around. Maybe got to wait for some injuries, some LTIR to end up factoring in and opening up a little bit more cap space so that they can sign. But for now, it's going to be tough. So he was number 1 on the list, or number 5 on the list of top 5s. Taking a look again at who I have here at number 4, and we got Sami Vatanen, a defenseman who was traded. Who's he traded to? From the Devils to the Carolina Hurricanes. So Sami Vatanen, decent two-way defenseman, I think a little bit more hard-nosed. He's somebody who I thought the Leafs could have been interested in when the offseason started. He was somebody who's kind of been linked to the Leafs a little bit in some trade rumors earlier, last year a little bit, and even the year before when he was still out in Anaheim. It's never really materialized, but if potentially he's looking to come in, a one-year, $2 million, $2.5 million deal, just to kind of get his value up again, or just to get back into the league. I mean, maybe he takes a cheap one-year pay cut just to get going. We'll see, but that's who's coming in at number four. Number three, Eric Howla. I was talking before the Joe Thornton signing, that Howla was actually a player who I wouldn't mind if the Leafs inquired on, and he's still sitting out there. It's now, what, November 25th, and he's still a free agent. This is somebody who could play in your middle six. He can move it, push onto your second line if you need him to, but probably best suited as a third line center. There's a lot of teams that could use a quality third line center. And Eric Halla still out there on the market, still for the taking. So I'll be interested to see where he ends up going. Number two, Travis Hamonic, defenseman, leaving Calgary and still looking for somewhere to go. More of a defensive defenseman here. If I'm not mistaken, and I always get them confused, but if I'm not mistaken, Hamonic was the defenseman who opted out going to the playoffs, citing some family reasons for why he wanted to stick around. I think his wife may have been pregnant, and he decided not to forego not to go forward with the playoffs, and ended up being one of the few opt-outs that we saw. But he's still out there on the market, and that one, it may be the fact that he just doesn't want to play during COVID right now. He didn't want to play during the playoffs, and maybe his stance hasn't changed. So Hamonic, another guy who I think I'm very high on, and someone who I'm surprised is still out there. But again, it could be on his own accord because he's not ready to sign because he knows he's not ready to play. We'll see what happens. Again, still a month to go. And number one, Mike Hoffman. I am so surprised that Mike Hoffman hasn't been signed. Like, he's a 30-goal scorer each and every year. Just 30 years old. You know, maybe he's looking for more term. I think that might be the reason why he hasn't been signed yet. Because at 30, you don't want to give a guy 5 years, maybe not even 4 years, just because the back end of that contract may be a little dicey, and not too sure, obviously, where money's going to go in the future, not too sure how the economy's going to end up going. And a guy like Mike Hoffman, if he starts to fall off the wagon a little bit at 33, 34, 35, are you going to want to pay him $5-6 million? I don't know if it's worth the $6 million, but if a team wants to pony up, you know, $6 million on a 2 or 3 year deal, they should do that because he's available and he's a goal scorer. And last I checked, the way you win hockey games is by scoring goals. Like, I'm looking at a couple of teams here who could afford it. There looks to be seven teams with over $6 million in cap space. He could go back to Florida. Florida's one of those teams who could bring him in. Perhaps Columbus. I think Columbus would be a really good option. They could use some more scoring out there. Obviously, when we played them in the playoffs, there wasn't much offense to go around. So they could use a guy who could put up 30 goals. Detroit, obviously. Don't know if he's going to want to go there. Ottawa, they've got history. Not sure if he's going to want to return back to Ottawa. Not sure if Ottawa's going to want to bring him back into the fold. Nashville is possibly somebody who could go there. LA, New Jersey, these are the other two teams that have the cap space as of now. That might make a little bit of sense. We'll see. Perhaps he does kind of a what Taylor Hall did, and he signs like a 1 year, six and a half at 1 year with a team, and try and test free agency again next year if he's not getting the big dollar multi-year deals. But that is my list of unrestricted free agents that are out there for the taking. Unfortunately, the Maple Leafs are just a little bit too close to the cap to be able to really get any of these guys, maybe a Corey Perry at a league minimum. But outside of that, I just don't see it happening for any of these players. And that's fine. I think I'm okay with the team that they've assembled. But still, a lot of really good quality players out there on the market ready for the pickings. And hopefully they end up signing before the season starts, because I want to see, you know, Mike Hoffman get paid. He deserves to be in the NHL. 30 goals is hard to do. Like, that is hard to do. And he's somebody who consistently does it on a yearly basis, and he's got to get signed to a team. Hamonic, if he wants to, he can still be a top four defenseman in the NHL. Easy. Halla, Vatanen, Gret, like all of these guys, even Anthony Duclair, is a solid player who deserves to be on an NHL roster. So, not that much time remaining, but still some time to get these guys signed on contracts. Maybe we'll see some of them do some PTOs. That'll be interesting to see how those will work out through COVID times, if that's even going to be allowed. I don't know. We'll see what happens, though. Still about a month and a half, probably. At least we know, guaranteed, at least a month of off-season until teams got to start getting their ducks in a row here. So still some time to get all these guys signed, both the RFAs and the UFAs. That's going to do it for us here today on the podcast. I'd like to thank you all for listening and supporting the show. You can subscribe to Locked On Leafs podcast on all podcasts and platforms and receive a daily Leafs podcast. Well, not daily. We're down to three times a week, actually, for the next 6 weeks. And then once the season starts back up, we're back to each and every day. But make sure you subscribe so that you can get those pods directly to your phone. Follow myself on Twitter at @Mickey_Canuck. Follow the show at Locked On Leafs. And if you want some more hockey talk, be sure to check out the Locked On NHL podcast, where myself and four other Locked On hosts discuss the latest around the NHL. I'll be back with another episode later this week. But until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On Leafs.